Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. This episode is about the future of HMIs. HMIs by means of human-machine interfaces, basically everything that is allowing the communication between a human, a user on one side, and a technology on the other side. Focus will be on cars, on vehicles, on mobility devices. But the basic ideas I will talk about, they count for other technologies, for other applications, for other use cases as well. So it is a certain automotive view in this one, but we will have more than enough examples from other areas. And I believe you can apply the ideas in any context where humans and machines interact with each other. When I started working in HMIs, the entire idea of the communication or the shaping of the communication, the design of the communication was limited by technology. So in the early days, it was not possible to have a color display, to have a display above a certain size, let's say 5 inch, 6 inches, 7 inches. And also the adaptability, the flexibility, things like animations and artificial intelligence, not to talk about, all that was not possible 20, 25, 30 years ago. And so the idea came out that we have to teach humans to learn technology. So we had these handbooks, we had these classes, courses you could attend. We had help files. And so at the very end, we forced the human to adapt to the technology. And one of my basic ideas, one of my basic visions, one of my basic missions is it to shape technology so that it fits to the human and not vice versa. Now, with the latest technological developments, larger displays are available to acceptable prices. We have capacitive touchscreens. We have processors. We have graphics, graphic processing on a very high level. That has changed. So today, we have a far higher flexibility of technology. We have more options in the technology, more chances to do things. And so the entire thing turned around in the past, let's say 20 years, from a limited bottleneck thinking to an overflow thinking that we have. So it's going to be 3 points I will talk about. It's 3 aspects of future HMIs, of future human-machine interfaces that I will talk about. And the first one is humanizing HMIs. The growing technical possibilities that we have, the abilities that we have there, will change, is changing, and has changed the communication between humans and technology towards a more humanized communication. The benchmark for a human-to-machine, machine-to-human communication is a human-to-human communication. It's like a face-to-face talk that we have with other persons. And this means that we use all channels for information transfers, with all means, with all multimodal abilities that we have. So we have, when we talk to each other in an acoustically exchange, somebody says a word, or words or a sentence, and the other person understands this, listens to this, understands this, and reflects this, and then says another sentence. So this is a typical way of human-to-human communication. But we're not only having the acoustic channel here, we also have the visual channel here. We see the other person, and we see his or her body language. We see the facial expressions. We understand, all right, this sentence was meant to mean the exact opposite of what it sounds like, because it was sarcastic or ironic. And we can see this very often from postures or from facial expressions. So the visual channel is a very strong one in human-to-human communication. And then we have the haptic channel. I mean, we touch other people, we shake hands when we meet. In Spain, they hug and kiss, or in general in most southern countries. But it's also when we talk to a friend, we maybe touch his or her arm or hand when we talk to each other, or we touch ourselves. So we have this haptic component in the communication. And then we may have an olfactory component, meaning smell and taste. This is not by means of that we lick each other's, but for example, we smell each other's. And in German, we have the expression "Ich kann ihn nicht riechen," which basically means "I cannot smell him," by means of "I don't like the way he is smelling or she is smelling," and basically meaning "I don't know why, but I don't like this person." And this is an indicator that there is a certain olfactory component in communication. And the human-to-machine communication will add these channels that we have. So at the moment, we are very visual by the ways of machine transfers information to the human. So it's very often shown on displays, on head-up displays. We have blinking buttons. So there is the visual channel used to transfer information from the machine to the human. The haptic channel today is used to transfer information from the human into the machine. Pressing buttons, pressing things on a touchscreen, rotating knobs, flipping switches. This is all happening on the haptic channel with our fingers that we use, or if we use brake pedals, it's with our feet. So we use this channel very often to transfer information from the human into the machine. And then we have the acoustic channel today, often used for beep tones, for small language snippets. Also the other way around, from the user into the machine, we have a certain amount of voice recognition that is possible. So we're using that in both ways. And then the olfactory channel is not yet really used. There, from our point of view, there is a lot of room for innovation that we have in there. And we will expand this. So we will have a visual communication from the human into the machine. So the machine will have, for example, facial recognition. We will have in a car fatigue warners. We will have machines, picture recognition that see, okay, there is a driver. The driver is distracted, so he cannot drive. Or the driver is fatigued, so she should not drive on. Also maybe the recognition of moods from a facial expression. All right, this driver is under stress. This driver is happy. This driver is singing. All this will be possible to adapt the car or any other device that we communicate with through visual inputs. On the acoustic side, we are experiencing at the moment in the automotive industry with the Mercedes MBUX or any other high-end navigation system that the speech exchange, meaning I'm talking to the machine talking to me, gets more and more human-like. I mean, the old voice recognition systems, they forced the user to use a certain set of words, a certain wording, a very strict grammar, very limited expressions. And if you said destination instead of navigation, the system just did not understand you. And this is changing. The system is more flexible. So if you say, I'm freezing, then the system replies, hey, it's 2 degrees more on the air conditioned good for you, and you say yes, or you know, you get this more natural human interaction instead of saying air condition, temperature driver, 2 degrees up, which is a very unhuman, not humanized way of communication. So we will have these changes. Another driver for enormous changes into humanizing HMI is artificial intelligence. So AI will adapt the capabilities of the machines, the means of communication, the way of communication to the needs, the wishes, the dreams, the personal preferences of people. It will also use the context of use cases, the entire context of use, the situation people are in. So that AI will adapt the capabilities. And at the moment, I am kicking off an project funded by the German government, where we analyze exactly that. What is the role of artificial intelligence in automotive HMIs? How will they differ? And the great thing about this project is, since it's publicly funded, it will be public. So I will be able to talk about what we do there and the progresses and the results. The second thing that I see as a future trend for human-machine interfaces is liquid HMIs. A bit about the background to get a better understanding what I mean with liquid HMIs. If you look back in the automotive HMI development, and I started working in this area in 1995, 1996, so 25 years ago, I joined a small software startup called CAA in early 1999. And with that, we had the idea we're going to write HMIs for automotive applications. We write the entire software for that. And we did it for companies like Audi or BMW. But most of the OEMs, most of the car makers at that time, they said, go to the suppliers. Go to the Siemens, Contis, Harmans, Aigins of this world. They are designing the HMI. We are just buying the navigation systems. We are just buying these devices, these radio combined with telephone, combined with navigation, combined with whatever. We just buy these devices at our suppliers, so go there. Then a few years later, 2003-04, the entire thing turned around 180 degrees. That was the moment when the car makers realized we will not get rid of these screens again. So they are there, they will remain, they will grow, they will get a more prominent position on the dashboard and in the entire cognition of a vehicle, recognition of a vehicle, in the entire interaction between driver and car. these devices will play a super prominent role in the future. And that was the moment when the OEMs, the car makers, said, well, it's our business. We move it to our site. And so that turned the entire arena around. And look at it, and who is defining the HMI, who is designing it, is on the side of the OEM today. And they see this, and this is correct, as part of the interior design of a car. And if we look at the latest developments, like the new Mercedes S-Class or the MBUX of Mercedes, and like in the A-Class, you see that this super prominent interaction is driven by the OEM and is part of the branding, is part of the interior, and so it is part of the core competence of a mafia vehicle manufacturer. The second tendency that happened over pretty much the same time frame as past 25 years. For us HMI designers, designing an automotive HMI was always some kind of bottleneck design. How can we squeeze more information onto the screen? How can we make this visible in the car? How can we make it safe to use? How big needs fonts to be? How many different words or expressions or graphics can I put on a screen? That turned around with displays becoming cheaper and cheaper. We have some cars like the Byton, for example, with a pillar-to-pillar display. So we have enormous amounts of real estate. And instead of designing for a bottleneck, we today design for structure. We design for content. We design for the user and around the user. And for me, sometimes the question is, I mean, I have these enormous amounts of screen space. How do we use it in a smart way? How can we make the user benefit from these huge screens that we see appearing in cars? And the next step following these two trends I just described is that the HMI will become location independent. The Internet of Things, the connection of different devices to the Internet, allows the exchange of information between these devices. And so we can steer our car from the smartphone. We can steer our home or smart home technology from our cars. And we can steer everything from a tablet or a PC. So we can control technologies from remote positions, so the control of technology becomes location independent. And this exactly is what I mean with HMIs are becoming liquid. They leak out of the core device into other devices. So for example, the automotive OEMs that have this strong standing and say, the HMI of an infotainment system, of the ADAS system, of all these systems in a car, they are part of our interior design and we have the control over it. They will lose their position in the next years. So they will lose the controllability over the HMI. We will have alternative end devices. And at the moment, we see some OEM-related apps that allow me to preheat my car in the winter or to control the fuel level in my car. All this is possible. All this is not really rocket science as of today, and it's not really part of the car HMI. But this will change, and maybe I can control things in the car from the smartphone, from outside the car, from the smartphone. That's a clear trend that I will be able to control more and more functions from remote devices. And suddenly, we are having devices, we're having HMIs, we're having contexts, use cases, all the hardware, all the design that is not fully under the control of the car maker anymore, but that is moving to a more flexible environment, to more flexible multifunctional devices like smartphones and tablets, where a car maker is not having full control. And suddenly people will use automotive HMIs in contexts where we don't know where they are, how they are. Are they sitting, standing, lying? Are they focused? Are they not focused? I mean, we just don't know this. And so part of the HMIs will leave its original position, become location independent, and with that, it will become liquid. The third trend, that's augmented reality or mixed reality HMI, AR or XR HMIs. What happens that we, with technology, we overlay the real, the analog world with a digital world. So data by itself is usually not visible. So we have these zeros and ones, the bits and the bytes, and they're in computing devices, and they're in cables, and they're processed there. And but we don't really know what's happening there. We cannot see it with our natural senses. So this is the digital part. But the real world, the analog world, the world we are living in, we are standing, running, sleeping, driving cars in, that is an analog world, and we can see at least the parts we believe are relevant in this one. So we have our visual impressions, we have acoustic impressions, we have haptic, olfactory impressions from the real world, and augmented reality then allows to overlay this analog real world with digital information, with data transferred into some kind of screen design, some kind of graphics, lists, whatever, and I can texts and I can overlay the two. And XR, mixed reality, is pretty much the same. So let's focus on augmented reality, where I augment the real world with a digital world. What we experience here is a fusion of the analog and the digital world. And we can combine the best of both worlds to make the best possible user experience, to raise the level of usability, to bring HMIs, human-machine interfaces, to totally new levels of quality. What we do with this overlay, if we do it well, is enriching the reality. We make the invisible visible. And the invisible may be things we don't see in the real world. For example, if you as a driver enter a highway or a German Autobahn, you are driving on a separate lane on the very right side. Then on the right lane of the main Autobahn, main highway, is a truck. And behind the truck is a motorbike driver. And the truck is fully covering the motorbike. So you, as the person in the car that wants to enter the Autobahn, you are not able to see the motorbike driver because it is behind the truck. And if you have some information available that there is a motorbike behind the truck, you can use augmented reality to display, maybe in the side window, in your left side window or on the windscreen, hey, there is an unknown, unidentified vehicle behind the vehicle you can see. Please take care if you enter the Autobahn, don't crash into the motorbike. So with this one, you have a clear raise in safety on roads when you make the invisible visible. But it's also, you may not be able to see an icy road in front of you. You may not be able to see an accident in front of you because it's behind a curve. And the augmented reality can indicate that to you and saying, hey, drive carefully, yeah, maybe on a head-up screen that's close to your line of sight, saying, crash in front of you. There are cars parked. And so, again, you can make the invisible visible. But it can also be for entertainment purposes, for example. You pass by, when you drive on a German road, in an old castle, and then the augmented reality device gives you information on, this was built in 1200 something, and the first one living there was such and such, and today it is a museum, and the opening times of the museum are such and such, and so on and so on. So again, information you do not have and you cannot see become visible as an overlay, as a digital overlay over the real world. So you can use this for education, for hazard alerts, for attention control. You can steer the attention of the driver. I mean, the use cases for augmented reality and mixed reality HMIs are enormous. It expands our senses. It expands our vision, first of all, but maybe other senses as well in the future. And so we can have a safer, better, more educated, more entertained drive in the future. Okay, in this episode, I have talked about the three trends on HMIs and HMI technologies. The first trend I was talking about is the interaction with technology will be more human, will be more humanized, will get closer and closer to a human-to-human communication. The second trend is HMIs will be liquid. They're leaking out of the original devices into other devices. And so you can control everything with every device at the very end. And the big problem is that an HMI designer does not know what will this device be like, where will it be used, and how will it be used. But we have this liquidity of HMIs. And the third trend I was talking about is augmented reality. That will be the next big innovation. We will overlay real world and digital world. We will make the invisible visible by making digital information overlaid, or by overlaying digital information onto the real world. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.